Are you surprised at how quickly it kind of came back to you when you were back in the flow of things?
The Nets forced the turnover. Harden. Oh, what a bounce for Green! James Harden! He's at another level.
Not really, not to like brag or anything, but I'm like, I'm really good at this game.
He sure is. The beard is back, and he's already hypnotizing the league. What'd you expect? Kenny Loggins isn't on the show, but the Blazers have won 9 of 10. Welcome to Portland's Danger Zone. And go, New York, go, New York, go. Yep, the song is ringing out across the land. Who needs nickels when you got dimes, friends? A whole lot of them. So keep it locked. Your favorite show's favorite show starts now. Nichols, joined by a future Hall of Famer in Vince Carter and the legend co-host of PTI, whose Hall of Fame status, we'll get to that in just a bit. But you can just call him the GOAT, Michael Wilbon. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you, Rach. Vince, good to be with you guys.
Mm-hmm. We got to dive right into the Nets game last night, gentlemen, because after an 18-game absence due to that hamstring strain, James Harden returned to the lineup last night. It was the longest absence of his career, but boy, did he pick up right where he left off. He came off the bench after sitting out the first quarter. That was to manage his minutes so he'd be available at the end of the game. And he looked just like James Harden. He pitched in 18 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, and just 26 minutes of action. Here is James on the importance of getting back before the playoffs begin. Take a listen.
Of course. Preseason is one thing, regular season is another level, postseason is an entire another level. You know, and then it gets, you know, the levels increase as you, you know, go different rounds. So, you know, for me, I wanted to get out there and just be on the court, you know, for my teammates and let them feel my presence and then also get my conditioning and my win back up to where I'm able to compete and be effective on both ends of the ball for an extended period of a game.
He's certainly doing all of that. And Vince, we've seen some other players come back from major injuries recently, and we say after their first game, their second game, oh, give it time. They got to get their timing back. They got to get their legs out in under them. We didn't see James needing any of that last night.
Zero.
What kind of grade would you give him in his return?
I mean, first of all, he's just a straight baller, and I'm going to give him an A. And that's exactly why I'm giving him an A, because sometimes you come back and you can do all the practice in the world. You can prepare. You can run on the treadmill, all of that. Until you're out there on the court playing a professional game of basketball, guarding some of the best players, doing what you do in the moment, you can't get that type of experience. You can't get back in shape until you're out there playing. He was unbelievable. Like you said, 18 points, 11 assists, 6-for-8 shooting, and he didn't look like he missed a beat.
No.
He gets an A because of his importance to the team. Yes, the San Antonio Spurs aren't the San Antonio Spurs of old, but they dominated him, and a lot comes from that man right there.
Rachel, A. That's all you can give him. I mean, Vince is completely right. A. I mean, you want to go A+. To me, the important thing is the 11 assists in 26 minutes. I mean, he got back out there. Remember, James Harden, to me, and I do have a vote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the MVP of this league for the middle third of the season.
Yes.
I mean, I know I started off saying LeBron, 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 and I would have stuck with that. And obviously, LeBron got hurt and missed so much time. And then it was James Harden. I mean, it's and it's the playmaking. It's the ability to say what Kyrie said. I know he was partially joking when he said, I said, James, you're the point guard, and that's
right.
That. And James was like, good, I'm fine with that. And his ability to just come back in and do that, I mean, physically, but also, you know, just sort of plug in to what his teammates needed in that space and what they need going into the playoffs. That guy was the MVP for the middle third of the season. And I mean, what Vince is saying is so important. Sometimes physically, you have to shake the rust off. We've seen that with other great Hall of Fame players in this season, future Hall of Famers. But man, what James did last night was extraordinary to me.
It's so interesting. If you look at these stats, 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star, but there's a number on the bottom. They're 19-3 with Harden and one of the other guys. Now, I would have expected that number to fall more in terms of, hey, when Kevin Durant is playing with one of the other guys, this is a guy who's a two-time MVP, finals MVP, one-time MVP, right? yet it seems to be in this combination of players, it's James Harden who's the activator. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. When Kevin Durant plays with just Kyrie, the Nets are closer to 500. And when they play with James Harden, they're 28-7 with any configuration of the other guys. Why do you think, Welbon, it's James of these three that has made the difference in wins during the regular season?
Well, it's funny, Rachel, I've been asking other current and recent former players that same thing. And people have different answers, but the one thing they have in common is they say, look, James hasn't won that championship yet, though he has been a championship-level player. He's been an MVP in this league, but he hasn't won. And you know how much he wants to win. He tells you every time. He says that whenever he sits down post-game, his comments are all about
winning.
Team yep. and what they're doing and what he can facilitate. And I just think that comes through. I mean, he's not just talking it. He's playing it every game. I mean, some of these assist totals are extraordinary. It's like, you know, Russell Westbrook's rebound totals don't make any sense. You just go, my God, how's he able to do this at that size and rebound that way? James Harden, to be the scorer that he's been and to be able to facilitate in this way, he wants to win. And I think that willingness to do anything, I think his teammates feel that every minute he's on the floor.
And I think it's the sacrifice he's made, and he's not playing the competition game within his teammates and the scores of Kyrie and KD. Because if you do that, the competition, you get sidetracked. And he came in with a purpose. I want to win. I've won scoring titles. I've shown that I can score with the best of the best. But I want to win. And his sacrifice coming in, and he's the best facilitator. Let's just call it what it is.
Yep.
You know, I think he's also one of the best scorers. But he's the best passer on their team, and he makes that team run. And when they're stagnant or they need a bucket, he can do that as well. So his importance is far beyond the other guys as far as that's concerned.
It's pretty crazy when the best facilitator, not only on that team that's a superstar-laden team, but in the league, is also a guy who could drop 40 on any given night that he wants to. I mean, that's an incredible skill set. It's interesting. We threw up the bracket just a minute ago. They could play Boston or Charlotte, kind of with the way things are stacking up now. And obviously, this could all still move around a little bit as we have just a few games left in the season. If we get LaMelo Ball with the way he passes on the same court for a series with James Harden and the way he passes, obviously, Brooklyn will be heavily favored in that first round matchup, and I would expect it to go chalk. But it will be a lot of fun for all the fans
to get
to watch it, right?
I mean, for people who are 100%. Connoisseurs of moving the basketball, that's something you would like to see. And you know what? That's going to help LaMelo Ball in the future. I mean, he's going to be sharing that space with James Harden, not just great players, but with James Harden specifically, the way he's facilitating right now, bound to help him as a young player.
Amazing. All right, I'm going to switch gears. The NBA announced earlier today they have created a new award in honor of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. This is so cool. It's going to recognize a player who best embodies Kareem's striving for social justice and racial equality. The winner will be announced during the playoffs. He will receive $100,000 from the league to donate to an organization of his choosing. Here is Kareem talking to our Maria Taylor about the award.
The Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion. When you found out that this was going to be something that would start this year, what was your initial reaction when you get that call from the NBA?
When I got the call, I was kind of incredulous. You know, I didn't think that they would do something like that. You know, I was told that, no, it's for real. And I'm just really happy that it's something that will take on an ongoing life and hopefully outlast me by a lot of years.
It's pretty incredible. Well, Bob, what's your reaction to the league creating this award and honoring Kareem in this way?
Well, a couple of reactions, Rachel. One of them is just to having Kareem involved at this level in the league, in the basketball community. I mean, there were too many years where I don't know what it was. You heard all kinds of theories, whether it was people not embracing Kareem to the degree that some of us thought should have been happening, or whether he wasn't available as much as he should have been available. Whatever that is, to have Kareem in this space at all for any reason is good. I mean, Kareem is a brilliant man. He's a champion, a multiple-time champion. He's one of the most important players in the history of the league. And now to add it with social justice, to do it this way. When Kareem was championing this, before anybody who's playing in the league was born, I mean, we can go, probably go like plus 10 or 15 years on that. So Kareem has been at this when it wasn't popular. Kareem was at this when there was risk attached to it.
Yep.
And you see that, that Cleveland Summit right there, which is one of the, my favorite shots of all time.
Yes.
To have Kareem in this space now, Rachel, all you can say is I'm glad to see it. And everybody who's who feels this way about basketball or social justice should be thrilled to see Kareem in this space.
Yes, this is amazing. It's great to hear all that, like you said, Kareem has done on the court plus off the court has, I mean, has been unbelievable. And I know a lot of young guys don't look and study the game like they should, but this is something that means a lot. And you know, guys, I hope, you know, they're talking about giving the award at the end of the year to an individual. This inaugural year, I would honestly like to see it go to all of the young athletes who are doing something on the front line this year, because this is this was the most important year, and we're seeing a lot of these young guys stand in the front lines and using their voice, using their platform, speaking for those who did not have a voice or a loud enough voice, and making sure they were heard. You see like Jaylen Brown, you see the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
There's so many guys that you can choose from. But in my opinion, this year, why choose one? Because these young guys, what they did this year in a sticky year, in the bubble, out of the bubble, you know, all of these things, they just wonder, oh, will guys still use their voice after the bubble when they're out of the bubble? Well, yes, they have. They've done a great job, and I hope they will consider something like that.
That's a great point, Vince, about sharing the wealth.
Right.
This year, that would be really important to basically confirm to the people who sacrificed, as you were speaking of, there's so many of them. You don't want anybody to feel bad that their contributions were just ignored if they were to feel that way. So that's a great point.
Although I do love, Vince, you're willing to spend so much of the league's money, $100,000 for you, $100,000 for you, $100,000 for you.
I'm kidding. You know, they can figure that out, though,
yes.
Rachel.
No, of course.
Maybe it's $20,000.
Yes, yes. And the overall idea, I think, is amazing. And the overall idea of the award is amazing. Producer Steve is saying in my ear that, indeed, the finalists for the award are getting $25,000 each to give to the charity of their choosing. So I think it is going to get spread around a little bit. And it is so important to have this be at the forefront of our game, to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being a presence at the forefront of our game. And also, shouts to President Obama for reaching up that high to be able to put the Medal of Honor around him. So I love seeing that clip as well. All right, guys, Wilbon's going to stick with us. We're going to talk about the Lakers. They managed to get a win without LeBron or Anthony Davis last night. How should they approach the final two games of the season? We'll discuss that next. According to multiple reports, former Major League Baseball star Alex Rodriguez and tech entrepreneur Mark Lohr have finalized an agreement to purchase the Timberwolves from Glenn Taylor for $1.5 billion. That is with a B, billion dollars. Vince, what is your reaction to this being official?
First of all, you said 1.5 bills instead of mills, and that's just amazing. I know they were up for it, and A-Rod's been trying to get it done for a while, for a couple of different sports, but, you know, congratulations to them, and maybe they have a lot of young talent over there, so it's a great purchase.
It's interesting how guys from other sports, Aaron Rodgers, Larry Fitzgerald, A-Rod, basketball is the place where they're investing their wealth. How about that? I mean, the NBA should be pretty happy about that, Vince.
Yeah, and a breath of fresh air in Minnesota. Our producer Danny said, well, that's true. That's true, Vince Carter. Producer Danny said, your move, Ben Affleck.
What's up, Mike? Just want to say congratulations on the award that you're receiving. You absolutely deserve it. Everyone knows it, not just me. I'm grateful for knowing you, more so grateful for the friendship and the relationship over my 16-year NBA career, even back to college when I met you when I was younger. You've been nothing but more than a man of your word, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that wholeheartedly, and I wish you nothing more but more success and continued health. So I love you, Mike. Congratulations, and keep going.
That is so awesome. Thank you so much.
Give me the cry, Rachel. Is that what you're going to do here?
Yep, yep. That's pretty much my goal here. I love that from Chris Paul. He is right on the money, and he is speaking of the honor that both Mike Wilbon and ESPN NBA play-by-play icon Mike Breen are about to receive. They are the recipients of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame 2020 Kurt Gowdy Award. This is the highest honor for anyone in the media who calls and talks about and writes about basketball. And the fact that, Mike, you and that Northwestern hat, I hope, are going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. I'm going to cry. I'm emotional about it. What does it mean to you?
Well, thank you. First of all, I mean, to Chris Paul. And Chris and I are partnering on a venture right now, which I can't wait for people to see. 61, keep that title in your heads, which is going to be part of Chris Paul's life and story. And I'm thankful for the friendship with him for all these years. Since, like he said, he was in college. We've known each other a while, like half his life or more.
Yep.
And I'm grateful and humbled by this, Rach and Vince. And I'm, you know, I never thought about it. It wasn't a goal. It wasn't something I dreamt about. I just didn't think, I thought that was beyond me. But to be included with this Kurt Gowdy Award with Mike Breen, I mean, my God. And even, oh, you got to get rid of that
nope,
picture.
Yep. I'm so excited about all of these photos.
They got to get rid of some of
that. That's what Mike looked like with hair, everyone, just in case you don't remember.
Oh, my goodness. For those who knew me when. But this is very, this is incredible. All those people, some of those people have known me all of my adult life. You saw like Phil Jackson and various people in those pictures that I've covered. And it's great. It's been great. I'm going in the print edition of this. People don't even know I wrote for the Washington Post for 30 years before somebody came and got us, Mark Shapiro, and put us on television. God help him with that decision making. But this has been, it's been an incredible ride. Oh, by the way, the special award going to Charles, Ernie, Kenny, and
yes,
Shaq
yes.
In that space as well. So to be sharing this space with them is just like, wow. You know, you guys have known me long enough. I don't usually become speechless, but I think I am now.
Vince, can you explain how NBA players, when Michael Wilbon comes to talk to you, what that felt like for guys throughout your career?
And I'm fortunate to really now be on both sides of this. And I've known and gotten the opportunity to talk with you for many years as a basketball player in passing. And we've had great conversations and, you know, and it's been an appreciation. But my appreciation for you is now on this side of the court, because we got the opportunity to work together during the finals in Oakland, and just sitting to talk with you and your willingness to extend your hand and your arms to me, teaching me the ropes in this game. And for me, you came to me and said, hey, look, if you need anything, you reach out to me at any point, anytime you need me. And that meant the world for me for now, the rookie coming into this game, wanting to be the best that I could possibly be. So I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the person you are. And I mean, you shine a light, and like your appreciation for the sport and your willingness to really help the younger generation coming up in this game is well appreciated, because you don't have to. I mean, you're allowed to walk around and not say anything to anyone because of what you've accomplished.
He's Michael Wilbon.
No, seriously.
Vince,
yeah, because you're you.
I can't tell you how much that means to me.
Yeah, and you were willing to, like, you came to me first and said that, and I was like, man, he beat me to it. Because I was like, hey, you know, can you just spit game to me? But you beat me to it. And I really appreciate that.
Vince, thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you saying that, but Vince, it was easy. It was easy in part because one thing, it was easy with you for me to do that. For one thing, standing in front of your locker room of all those passing conversations where mm-hmm. you're juggling a million people with microphones and notebooks, it was like we would say, my God, Vince is a natural for this. Who knew whether you wanted to coach or do something else, go off and be an entrepreneur for a while and come back to this or not? It was I did a good talent evaluation job. I got one right watching you. And so I felt that I knew, you know, you were still playing. And I'm like, okay, this is easy. He's going to be great at this, and I can't wait to hear him. And there are guys who've come along very recently in your generation like this. You and Richard Jefferson comes to mind, because I was just on with Richard recently. It's a thrill to see you guys come and become storytellers in addition to what you did playing. And, you know, we were seeing, I know maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but I have to. We were seeing Kobe Bryant discovered that at a different level, at the executive producer level, and coming up with stories. And we talked about that when he was a player. And he didn't really want to talk about it then, Rachel knows. And then he said, okay, I'm ready to explore this and talk about it publicly. But you guys, there's a lot of guys who have that feel for this business. And thankfully, you're in it. And whatever little I could do, I'm glad, because I'm glad you're on this side now. And thank you for that. That means a lot to me. And the person you're sitting next to, at least on the screen, Rachel, she's had to put up with me since she was wearing 19? That purple hat in Northwestern, too.
19 years old.
Yeah, 19 years old. That's a long time. But this is an unbelievable honor, and I can't even convey how happy I am about it.
First of all, we just saw Kobe, Kevin Garnett, some of the guys you're going into the hall with, which is pretty incredible. And yes, I was 19 years old, an intern at the Washington Post, going to Northwestern, and we know how Mike is about his Northwestern people. I could not have asked for a better big brother in this business. I'm not kidding about getting emotional. I'm going to be extremely emotional as all of this unfolds over the next few days. If you haven't looked at Michael Wilbon's writing copy in old Washington Post issues, please go back and take a look. It is why he is going in the Hall of Fame, and the quality of that work is what made me want to be a journalist, plain and simple. I will also tell one last story, is that when I was at the Washington Post, now as a full-time employee, when I was in my 20s, I sat at a little cubicle, and that cubicle was about 8 feet in one direction to the nice glass office that Michael Wilbon sat in, and 8 feet in the other direction to the nice glass office that Tony Kornheiser sat in. And both of them would leave their doors completely open all day, and often, because they were about, I don't know, 15 feet from each other, would start just yelling back and forth from one office to the other. That would turn into an argument, that would turn into a discussion, that would turn into this back and forth, to that back and forth. And I, as a 23-year-old who still didn't know how to do anything, trying to write in the middle of all of this with the back and the forth and the back and the forth. So when they took you guys for the first test for PTI, my first reaction was, thank God someone has taken them out of this office so they can
I'll tell you a quick PS to that story. One Pat Riley visited the office one day when he was coaching, I guess, the Knicks still. And he and Tony go way, way back, further than, you know, I have known Pat Riley. But he came in, he looked at us screaming at each other, and he just said, oh, my God, they're going to let you do this on television now, when PTI came up, because he'd seen it in real life.
Yes.
So, Rach, sorry. I mean, you know, it took a while to get rid of us. We finally got out of your way, let you do your thing.
I am so happy to say that, just like with Vince Carter, I have stalked you ever since, and I'm thrilled that we are not rid of each other and will never be. I do have to get a little bit more of your basketball expertise before we let you go, Mike, because the Lakers unveiled their 17th championship banner last night. It was pretty cool to be in the building for that, especially when LeBron quickly turned his sights on winning an 18th title for the franchise, saying the road to back-to-back starts in about a week. Now, L.A. beat Houston by 2 points. They didn't have LeBron or AD in the lineup. It does keep their hope of avoiding the play-in scenario alive, though, with 2 games left. If the Lakers beat the Pacers and Pelicans and the Blazers either finish 0-2 or the Mavericks go 0-2, the Lakers then sneak into that 6th seed. Now, if the Blazers and Mavs both finish 0-2, the Lakers would be the 5th seed if both of those teams can't win another game. So, Vince, how much pressure is there on their superstar duo to play these final 2 regular season games?
You know, Rachel, I think if there's pressure, I mean, they could say what they want, there's some pressure, okay? But with the Lakers, it just depends on what they're trying to accomplish. What seed do they really want? Where, you know, do they want to get 6 and play the Clippers, or do they want 7 and see the Clippers later on? You know, it's just the path they want. And you know, that's the only way I can wrap my mind around how LeBron's not, why LeBron's not playing right now. Because, I mean, I think, you know, yes, he has a lot of finals experience, and it's like an old hat for him. He's like, hey, I know when it's time to turn it up, it's time to turn it up, like he said in his speech. But, you know, as a team, you just want everybody to be on the same page. And yes, we remember how it is with LeBron's out there and how easy the game is, but you still want to have your guys going and playing your best basketball. I don't care if you're the Lakers or if you're Golden State or whoever you are. So that's my only concern. If they're healthy, I'm not worried about it, but it just depends on where they want to be in this situation. But when you play that game, you have to be careful playing in the play-in tournament, because you can run against a Steph Curry who can go for 50, 60, you know, and upset you and put you in a position where you don't want to be in.
me piggyback on something Vince just said, because you were so right. Like, I'm trying to figure out just now as a fan of this, and I love postseason basketball, I think, more than anything I've ever covered, which I'm old enough for that to have been everything. And I love postseason basketball. I don't know whether the problem with seeing a LeBron versus Steph Curry playing situation is you could wind up not having one of them. And you want to have both of them. I mean, I'm greedy. I want to see both of them play as much as I can. And so then, though, if you're playing the Clippers, I mean, are the Lakers coming off of all this, you know, health situation, are they ready for that? But one game against with Steph and LeBron, oh my God, that might be one of the most watched, one of the most viewed games in recent NBA history, maybe all of NBA history. I mean, people are going to stop what they're doing to watch that. I don't know how ready the Lakers can be. The history of basketball is littered with teams that weren't able to reach their potential because great players were hurt. People like this is new. This is not new.
No.
I mean, I remember Magic Johnson, our dear friend Irvin, limping off the court with that hamstring in the finals
NBA
against
finals.
The Pistons. I remember Isaiah Thomas putting up one of the great performances in the history of the game on one ankle. And so the history of the league is part and parcel with injured great players doing what they can if they can get out there. So I don't know what I'm rooting to see Steph and LeBron as long as I can see him, but that might not happen. That might not be in the cards.
We will see. It's all going to happen in the next few days, as is your Hall of Fame induction. Mike, congratulations again. Thank you for joining us. Always
love
an honor.
Appreciate you both. Thank you.
You're
thank
man.
You. And thank
You're
Chris
man.
Paul for what he said again. The amazing Chris Paul. Don't forget him on your MVP ballots, by the way.
I'm stumping
for Chris now, too.
I love it. I love it. Well, Wobbon, have fun up in Springfield.
Enjoy
Zach
it,
Lowe
brother.
Is going to pop in on this show in just a few minutes. He'll discuss the significance of the Knicks clinching their first playoff berth since 2013. Stick with us. All right, at this time, we want to welcome in our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, Mr. Zach Lowe. Let's get right to the Knicks, Mr. New York. Their 8-year playoff drought has ended. It is over. They didn't even have to take the court. It's over because their longtime rival Celtics lost in Cleveland. So this is courtesy of our ESPN insider, Bobby Marks. It's important to note that with the Knicks clinching a playoff spot, Julius Randle has now earned a nearly $1 million bonus. Randle also received a $945,000 bonus for being selected to the All-Star game earlier this season. So very profitable. Zach, what is the significance of the Knicks clinching a playoff berth? You have lived through in that city years of I don't even know what to call it, and now they are back, baby.
First of all, I hope Julius Randle has an All-NBA bonus because he might make that too. The significance is huge. Like, people think we're overstating the Knicks. Oh, they're cute. They're a little over 500. No. This has been the league's worst nightmare for a long time. This is what the Nets did. They got a bunch of hardworking, plucky players and a good coach, and they overachieved. And guess what happened? Superstars were like, oh, that's going on in New York City? I want to be a part of that. And this is what the league has feared with the Knicks. Now they have the James Dolan factor, which has turned off people in the past. We'll see how that evolves. But the most important part of the Knicks going forward was get a competent, competitive team on the floor with a good coach, and they've done that. And now it's like, don't go crazy. Don't trade all the picks for like an okay, you know, B-plus player, a fringe all-star. Just stick to the principles that have gotten you here, and the basketball gods will reward you. Things will take care of themselves. Just keep on day-to-day doing what you're doing, and they are going to be a problem. At some point, someone is coming.
Yeah, when you think of the Mecca, you think of the Garden. You think of the New York Knicks, Knicks basketball. And with that being said, a playoff basketball game will be played in the Garden again. So, yes, that's great for basketball. It's great for the league, like you said, Zach. So, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Julius. I once watched Julius play in high school in my Dallas days, and to see him now, most improved player, and what it's going to do for the Eastern Conference, what he's going to do for free agency. Now, because you know they were heartbroken when they thought Kevin Durant and possibly Kyrie Irving were coming to the Knicks, and guess what? He's going to the Nets. So, like you said, stick to the script, play your brand of basketball, continue to just be who you are. And of course, Coach Thibodeau has done a great job with establishing that. And then things will take care of itself. The basketball gods will bless you.
You look, I started covering the league when the Knicks were in the NBA Finals. I mean, to me, this team stood for so long for toughness and just basketball truth, and the way the whole city sort of revolved around the Knicks and the way people thought of New York basketball. And then there have been a lot of up and down since then. But really, I mean, these last 8 years, there were a lot of moments where just the way the franchise was being run was so frustrated and comical, frankly. I mean, this is just not how professional organizations worked. And the reason that got so much attention is because the Knicks are so important to the NBA, the size of the fan base, the place sort of in the solar system of basketball. So this huge turnaround, it's not just about 1 year. To me, I have been so complimentary this season because I think the way this team is being managed is so different. You don't get a participation medal in those years when things were going so badly. We're talking about them nicely now because things are going so well. And I'm thrilled to see this team in the playoffs. It's going to be so much fun. All right, guys, coming up, I'm so excited about this too. Breonna Stewart, Sue Bird are going to stop by to join the jump. You do not want to miss it. Just wait and see. So much fun. Here's what The Jump recommends for today. Ramona Shelburne has an ESPN cover story with Joel Embiid where he discusses everything from his MVP-level season to fatherhood. Here's an excerpt from Embiid talking about his brother Arthur, who, as we know, was very tragically killed. The impact it left on him. Take a listen here.
4 months after being drafted in 2014, Joel received a call from Cameroon. His brother Arthur was walking home from school when he was hit by a truck and killed. He was 13 years old.
I couldn't stop crying. I was all over the place. I was, you know, throwing stuff, and I was just trying to understand. The next day, I was on a plane back to Cameroon. No one has gotten over it. To this day, I mean, we all still shocked. And at that time, I was just like, I don't want to come back. Like, I just want to stop playing basketball.
Why'd you decide to come back?
I just felt like, well, I got to do it for them. I got to do it for my family.
Now joining us, the WNBA's finest from the defending champion Seattle Storm, Sue Bird. Breonna Stewart, joining the jump. Stewie, we were supposed to have you the day after you won the title in the Wubble, and there were all these technical problems. So damn it, 216 days later, we are making good. Welcome to the show. I'm so thrilled you're both here.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us.
I want to start with what I just talked about, you guys defending your title. Who do you think is the biggest threat to your repeat chances this season?
You want to go? I think there's a lot of big threats. I think, you know, our opening game is against Vegas, and actually our second game is against Vegas. So a lot is on the line in opening weekend, and we know that they're going to give us a run for our money, that's for sure.
What's it like playing against them?
Yeah, there's just been so much shakeup with the rosters. So it's kind of going to be one of those seasons where a lot of question marks, and we'll just see when we get out there.
Well, look, we're all excited for the documentary 144 about the Wubble. Our friend Shanae Ogumike produced that. What are each of your biggest takeaways from that whole crazy, hopefully once-in-a-lifetime experience?
I think for us, it was just we really learned a lot about ourselves as individuals, as a league. When we come together, when we stand for something, we can get a lot done. And it's pretty unique, I think, to us. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for the documentary also. It's going to be some fond memories, also some memories that'll bring back the challenges of 2020. Mm-hmm. But all in all, like I said, I think we accomplished so much off the court. The long-term impact will always stay with me.
Yeah, and I think like Sue said, I mean, the fact that we were able to have the entire league in one bubble together never happened before, and also was extremely empowering. Yeah. And we were able to watch on and off the court, and I can't wait to see the the series, the docu-series.
It's going to be so, so good. Important viewing. All right, this next question is for you, Brianna. You suffered that Achilles injury, cost you the entire season in 2019. Then you don't just come back, but you come back to be finals MVP. How gratifying was it to get back to the top of that mountain after what I can only imagine was just a tremendous amount of work and rehab?
It was something that I was actually really proud of. Not the fact that of winning MVP, but being able to come back and play at such a high level, to be alongside Sue, to be able to continue to kind of do what we do on the court and have it be so soon after returning. So that's what makes this year even more special and important, to not only be in Seattle, but also to be back and having another year with Sue.
Yeah, and look, Sue, I remember talking to you during the hiatus when everything shut down. We weren't sure if there was going to be a season, right, in the bubble. And you said, I don't know what that does to my whole career, right? And then fast forward here, you're a four-time champion. You're going into yet another season. Have you taken the time to think about sort of where this season will fit in for you? Are we going to do the sort of everyone claps for Sue when she gets to a certain location? Or you think you're going to go many more seasons beyond this?
Oh man, I don't know if I can handle that. That sounds stressful. That lap sounds stressful. Yeah, I mean, last year was interesting for me physically,
right?
And I think showed me coming back from missing, like you mentioned, the 2019 season. I was kind of like, okay, I can actually still do this. Mm-hmm. And once I felt that confidence came back. I hit it hard in the off season, and here we go again. So I don't really have an answer for you, other than I'm taking it one year at a time and trying to play as much. I mean, listen, all she does is win.
Right.
So I'm just playing as much as I can with Stewie before I call it a day.
I mean, I think this is a wise strategy. You, my friend, are no fool. Brianna, I do want to congratulate you also because you recently got engaged. What was that moment like for you? Congratulations.
Thank you. And it was extremely nerve-wracking. You know, like having these moments where there's big pressure situations in games, and I remember like leading up to that afternoon, the anxiety, like the weight was actually insane, but very special moment. Happy to be engaged and looking forward to everything to come.
There's so little we've ever seen phase you. I find that hard to believe, but I'm going to take your word for it and know that, again, you came through when it counted. Thank you guys so much for joining us. As I said, it's been a long time coming. We can't wait to see you in action as the season kicks off. Congratulations on another run getting started.
Thanks, Rachel. Good to see you.
Bye, guys. Always so fun having them on the show. All right, coming up next, Victor Oladipo out for the season. How will this impact his upcoming free agency? We will dig into that. Stick around. Man turned down $45 million earlier this year. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Victor Oladipo has opted to have season-ending surgery on his right quadriceps tendon. There's no timetable for his return. It's important to note, Oladipo is set to be a free agent this summer. And remember, he turned down a two-year, $45 million contract extension from the Rockets earlier this season. So, Vince, what are your expectations for Oladipo's free agency in just a month or two?
Man, it's a tough situation, I think, for him. At one point, he was one of the best two guards in the game. I mean, he's playing great basketball, and now it's just first and foremost, you want him to get healthy and prove that he's capable of playing at a high level, and then you go from there.
What about you, Zach?
He turned down an even bigger deal, or at least shut down talks for an even bigger deal with the Pacers. And, you know, the biggest way to get paid, the best way to get paid in free agency is to have your own team want to sign you back. That's the best source of leverage. And the Miami Heat, they barely got to know Victor Oladipo, and other teams like the Knicks, they've kind of taken over the past year or so a wait-and-see approach. Wait to see. What player is he? Is he the player he used to be? Is he 90% of that player? And now it's right. This sort of collective shoulder shrug where you think maybe it's going to be a one-year deal and he's got to prove it again. It's as Vince said, it's really sad considering how great he was the year he made All-NBA.
This is the thing when we talk about players and, you know, bet on yourself sounds great. You know, we talked on the show last week about Julius Randle facing a question this summer about whether he's going to extend with the Knicks or just hold off and wait to get more of a max deal later. I understand the appeal of betting on yourself and hoping that there is more money down the road. But obviously, we've seen it. We saw it with Boogie Cousins, right? An injury at the wrong time. Boogie was in line for what looked like a $200 or $300 million contract. And then, of course, since then has been on these shorter deals as he's had to prove himself after his injury. All right, guys, the Blazers defeating the beat-up Jazz last night in Salt Lake. It was Portland's ninth win in the last 10 outings. Portland has moved up to the five spot in the West, but a lot can change in the next 5 days. Here's a look at the Blazers' remaining schedule tonight at Phoenix, then wrapping up Sunday in Portland versus the Nuggets. So, Zach, let's start with you. How do you see the West turning out, since Portland has the keys to really shape things for like six other teams down the stretch?
Yeah, and I think, well, obviously Portland wants to stay out of the play-in tournament, but I think they'd really like, if you ask them what their preference is, I think they'd say, we like that Denver matchup without Jamal Murray a little bit more than we like that Clippers matchup where you have those big wings that can really prey on Portland's kind of smaller guards. But I've been saying for weeks, the numbers have been screaming it. When Yusuf Nurkic plays, the Blazers are good, and they're good on defense too. Their new starting five with Norm Powell and Nurkic is plus 13 or 14 per 100 possessions. It's an elite lineup. Now the bench, which is down to three guys at this point, none of whom are, let's say, defensive experts, it's a little hit or miss, but the Blazers are good and they're dangerous, and it looks like they're hitting their stride at the right time.
Absolutely. That they're putting the league on notice. Like, yeah, we struggled. We had injuries. We were up and down. You wrote us off. Here we are. We went from the play-in to fifth spot, and they're going to make some noise. So, yeah, Denver should worry.
Well, there's a lot of players around the league who have their TVs set to Blazers games for the next couple days, because they are going to affect so many. All right, the Jump is back tomorrow with a special Hall of Fame edition. We are so excited. Thank you to Sue Bird. Thank you to Stewie, Zach, and, of course, Wilbon for joining me and Vince. We'll see you guys back tomorrow. Bye.